Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome, everybody, to the
I'm Fat Podcast.
Snacks are best saved for later.
With Jay Zawoski.
That man ate all our shrimp and two plastic lobsters.
And Rick Camp.
Out the mist came a beast more stomach than man.
Welcome into another edition of the I'm Fat Podcast, brought to you by our sponsors, Charlie the Bacon Guy, Mazda of Orland Park, Fredo's Culinary Kitchen, and Nick and Ivy Brewing. I am Rick Camp, alongside fellow fat Jay Zawoski, and Jay, the Flabby Four is here.
Woohoo!
The, you know, actual basketball tournaments are to their title game. Sadly, our guy DJ Burns will not be winning a national championship, but he's already won one in our hearts.
Reach
and with NIL money, by the way.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Did he get that Applebee's deal?
Yeah, exactly. I love all the TikToks of the Applebee's, Italian Applebee's, Chinese Applebee's. Have you seen those?
No. I got to look for those. That's awesome.
It's one person. It's basically like all the national chains.
Yeah, I already know. Just by you describing it, I already know what it is. I'm going to say it's P.F. Chang's.
Is Chinese Applebee's.
What were the other ones? Mexican?
What's Italian Applebee's?
Olive Garden?
Yep.
Okay.
There were so much. Sam and I were going through these yesterday, and there are even ones where it's like, what's Jim Crow Applebee's?
Oh, God.
That was one of them, which I thought was creative.
What's that?
Cracker Barrel? Or Cracker Barrel, not Crate and Barrel.
Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Accurate. Anyway, we've got a lot to get to and not a lot of time to do it. I mean, we have unlimited time, but I have to get to the Hawks game today. It is Sunday at 11. We're doing this thing, so we don't have to do it tonight, so I can come back and watch some WrestleMania instead of talk to Rick. Sorry,
there
Rick.
You go.
WrestleMania is fun, and there are scantily clad women rolling around on each other.
It's probably cooler than what I'll be doing, which might be playing Mario Kart.
That's fun, too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's fun, too. All right, so social media, at I'm Fat Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We've also got the I'm Fat Podcast fans page on Facebook. That's really fun. Go check that out. That's probably the most active of all of our pages because it's a lot of like user participation, people sharing stories and stuff like that, which we love. That's great. We've got our YouTube page, youtube.com/I'm Fat Podcast. Make sure you go there, subscribe to it, like those videos, watch those videos. All of that is very, very helpful for us. We've got our merch shop, imfatmerch.com. Rick is wearing a I'm Fat Podcast t-shirt there, the old style beer design. Very, very cool. That's one of my
definitely
absolute favorites.
Definitely not old style beer.
That's right. Not old style. Definitely not old style beer design. Yeah. What else? We've got our Patreon, patreon.com/I'mFatPod. And that's about it. So, you know, whatever you want to do. And if, look, you're low on funds and you don't want to spend any money, which is understandable, do us a favor. 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We would greatly appreciate that. All right, Rick, you're handling the things this week because I was not good last week. I was all over the map. I was too scrambled. I was too in my head. I'm leaning on you and your radio expertise. It is time to announce the Flabby Four.
So good.
The floor is yours, my friend.
The Flabby Four, if you're looking at the bracket, in the top left quadrant in the Rick Camp region, the 6-seed Shade beat the 4-seed Stand Up Grown 53-47. A very close one.
Dude, Shade is making an unprecedented run.
I'm happy it did because it was one that, like, I seated in the middle because I was like, I hope everybody understands not just, oh yeah, Shade, but like how important Shade can be for fats.
Yes.
So the fact that it's making this run makes me happy because a lot of times the ones that I like this much, first round out, maybe get to the sweaty 16.
What's crazy is you had such a killer bracket, and not taking anything away from Shade. I mean, everyone appreciates a good Shade here and there, but Jason Kelsey, Office Drawer Snacks, Insulin, you had so many strong contenders to make it all the way. I'm just sort of surprised that this is the one that's come out. It's great and it's worthy, But it's, to me, it's a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some where, like, I feel like probably in Paul's, he had a lot of really good stuff, but you could always tell it was going to come down to, as it did, beer versus wings.
Right.
And beer got the win 52-48. So that was a titanic matchup of a couple blue bloods that really gave us a great matchup. So on the left side of your bracket, it's going to be Shade versus Beer.
Damn. I mean, that was offensive foul by Beer, I thought. And it shouldn't count. It shouldn't have called it, but whatever. I was voting for chicken wings. I wanted chicken wings to take down Beer because, again, I have to give one up. But again, if Paul gives up Beer, he doesn't have a business.
Right.
So I get why that was his one seat.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. It's kind of his livelihood.
And then on the other side of the bracket, in the Jay Zawoski region, the one seed Steak took down the two seed Warm Chocolate Chip Cookies 60-40.
That was a surprise to me.
So
that it was so that I'm not surprised that Steak won. I'm surprised it won as handily as it did.
So I think, and from some of the social media reaction, I think if you had just put chocolate chip cookies, it might win. But some people prefer cool chocolate chip cookies, like from the fridge.
Those people are stupid.
For me, it depends on the mood. Like, either at home, it was either you ate them right after, like, they got the initial cool down.
Correct.
Like, or then they would go in the fridge, and then you would have them out of the fridge. And they're almost like two different things.
It's interesting. I've never refrigerated cookies after making them.
Yeah, it's good.
All right, I'll have Addie make some, and whatever I don't eat as soon as they come out of the oven.
Perfect.
As I'm burning my lip on melted chocolate chip lava, I'll put in the fridge and see how it goes. I'm open-minded.
And Steak will take on the winner of the Charlie Bacon Guy region, the five-seed Tacos, which defeated the long run of the 14-seed, the Little Debbie Snack Empire, 61-39.
Yeah, Little Debbie just ran out of steam at the end there. But that's tacos are, you know, I am not the biggest taco guy. Not trying to skew the audience in any way, shape, or form for the voting. That starts, by the way, Monday at 8 a.m. The voting will be open. Look for the link on our Twitter and social media pages. I just, they're good. I love tacos. Don't get me wrong. But, like,
burritos just got in.
Burritos are better. Mm-hmm. They're bigger. They're not as messy.
Yeah.
They're a better value.
Yes.
You know, sure. I don't know. I feel like tacos get cold. Like, if you order four tacos, by the time you get to the fourth one, it's cold.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to agree. And especially with having burritos just get in to then have tacos, it's like, okay, what, you know, I think, and we were talking about this before we started, like, adding Shade to the t-shirt would be a fun challenge.
Yes. For t-shirt purposes, I am rooting hard for Shade. That's for sure. Yes. That's going to be very funny. By the way, back to the taco thing, just real quick. Mm-hmm. What are the best tacos? Steak tacos.
That's very true.
So you can't have one without the other. Just saying.
Yeah. And then the other thing that made me think of is what are we doing with the t-shirt? Like, what's Andy Reid doing that he's in the shade? Is he under a tree? And then I started thinking of, like, you mentioned a hammock and how they're awful for fats.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't be a thing. But then I thought about, like, the swing that hangs from a tree, or just like a swing, like one of those little swings on a deck.
Yeah.
And I have a story.
Oh.
Because so growing up, I thought this was kind of weird when it happened, and I'm starting to think it was a quick idea that was not done in the most safe way. In my grandparents' basement, they had one of those, like, little swings that I think my grandma just liked. Like, she wanted that feeling of sitting out on a deck while not actually sitting out on a deck.
So just visually, is this like a three wide, like a bench swing that hangs from the...
I think it was more like one or two,
okay,
depending on the person. Now, I was still pretty young, fairly young when this happened. I'm trying to think. I was like 10, maybe. Like, bigger than the average kid, but not, like, large. and I'm on the thing, and it came through the old ceiling.
Oh boy.
It was a little, it was a drop ceiling, so it's kind of whatever in terms of breaking through it, but yeah, that fucker came down.
Oh. So there's an early trauma for you as a young fat kid.
Mm-hmm.
As you pull down your grandparents' swing chair with your girth underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
All fat people have that first trauma.
Yeah. And like the thing I don't remember is if I was like, you know, maybe swinging on it too much to like really add to it, or if it was just like it was coming down soon regardless and I just happened to be the one to push it over the edge. I think both are viable.
It could be. Yeah.
It's just been long enough where I don't remember.
Yeah, it just noped out. It's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna go ahead and give up.
Yeah, that was it was not great.
All right, well, since we're sharing our first fat traumas, feel free to share yours at imfatpod@gmail.com or 708-858-3314. That's the voicemail number. As a young man, everyone has seen these photos of me in my baseball uniform, my Expos uniform. They're very famous. Yeah. I look very distraught. I got the biggest jersey on the team, and it fit me as like a compression shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was, it was white. I looked like Mr. Stay Puffed, let's be honest. So my mom was
very uncomfortable.
Yeah. My mom and her friend actually took this jersey home from Oakland Baseball. They undid the seams down the side and they went to the fabric store and bought like yay much of like elasticy, stretchy, like nylon fabric or whatever jerseys are made of on both sides. And fixed the shirt so it wouldn't be, like, skin tight on me for the entire baseball season.
Yeah.
Looking back on that as an adult, that was a huge undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's the love only a mom has, you know? Like, I don't want my kid to be upset. But it was ridiculous. Like, come on. I was a fat kid. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But, like you said, I wasn't, like, on, like, the Discovery Network fat. You know what I mean? They should have had a shirt big enough. And that's why, like, now that I'm in with the Homewood Baseball and Softball League, I try to reiterate to these people, we have to have big sizes. We can't just go up to especially for girls.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have girls uncomfortable in their uniforms. They're going to be miserable.
Right.
Like, we have to accommodate for bigger girls. And, like, I don't know. It's been, like, kind of we have to go, you know, double X pants. You know, at least double X shirts, and we got to give them, if they want a men's, they can do a men's. Like, we have to accommodate that because you don't want that girl in the team photo feeling awful about herself, especially as they get older. And the same with boys. I only have a daughter, but I mean, you don't want to stand out in any way, you know,
right?
When you're that age. And that was tough. That was a tough one for me, but it was fine. I don't remember, like, I think once they fixed it, it was totally fine.
Okay.
So thanks, Mom.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's a good one.
To do that. So something similar, but very much opposite in terms of the group it's for this week at work, Brett and myself were basically like, we knew we're getting X amount of shirts for something.
Okay.
And we're like, okay, how do we distribute the sizes for our membership? And broadcast IBEW members, not the smallest people in the world. So we were like, okay, we have 37. Okay, well, what if we did this, 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 and this? So like our consensus, at least to start, was like, okay, we got to do like 15 XLs, 10 double Xs, like 5 triples, maybe a couple larges. And like, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Nothing south of large. So if you're like one of the 3 people that needs a medium, 1, screw you, 2,
you'll be fine.
You'll be fine with a large. And yeah, I don't remember exactly how like we started there and then kind of like added a couple here and there, but it was like, okay, let's be realistic about who we're playing to here.
Well, I mean, that's better than like, I remember Matt Spiegel always used to say like people would send him shirts and they would send him like an XL or a double X, like to be polite. And he's like, I can't wear this.
Right.
Just get me something that's going to fit me. I don't care. Like, I realize what the reality is. So if you ever want to send me and Rick shirts, I'm a double X, Rick.
3.
Okay. There you go. Some days I can squeeze into an XL depending on the manufacturer.
I definitely cannot.
Yeah. But whenever I order anything, I always order double X.
Yeah.
And then if I'm like, all right, it's too big, I'll go exchange it. But that's pretty rare.
Yeah, for me, it's like 3 or a 3XL tall.
Well, guess what? If you get yourself one of those shirts from Nick and Ivy, they are very generous, very roomy. I have the double X Delwood IPA shirt. Yeah. I am swimming in that bad boy. It looks like a moo-moo on me. So go visit our friends at Nick and Ivy. Thanks to everybody that came out for our selection show. 1026 South State Street in Lockport. And guess what? Nick and Ivy is starting to make their way into breweries near you. I know Lassen's and Homewood just got some Nick and Ivy beer there. So I'm going to go there this week and give it a shot. I know he was out talking to my cousin and Uncle Buds and are trying to work on something there. Nice. So it's spreading. You can find Nick and Ivy. I know in the Jewel... the Jewel's locations in the area of Nick and Ivy, like out in like Romeoville, Bolingbrook, Lockport, like they've got Nick and Ivy there. So you can find it, but go to the brewery. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Such a great atmosphere, such great people there. You're going to feel welcome. You're going to feel at home. You're not going to feel rushed. Great looking merch. Exactly. So go check them out. 1026 South State Street. Follow them on Instagram at Nick and Ivy Brewing, and the website nickivybrewing.com. So much great stuff out there. And really, we say it all the time, there's a beer for everybody there. So even if you're not like the biggest IPA hop devouring person, they've got something for you. I saw, is it Mac DeMarco? Is that the music artist? not Danny Mac DeMarco. That's a different person. Whoever. I saw something with like, it was like Pitchfork or something had a video with him. And he was bitching about how everyone, whenever he has like a backstage setup, everyone assumes because he's like this rock star that he likes IPAs. He's like, I hate it. I hate that crap. Give me the macro brews. So if whatever you're into, they're going to have something for you at Nick and Ivy. And it's going to be made with love and care and craft. And it's great, but it's not just going to be a massive hop bomb in your mouth every time, unless you like that.
Sure.
And they've got that too. So go check them out. It's awesome stuff. All right. I saw something. Actually, my friend Vanessa sent me this.
Okay.
And I thought it was very, very interesting. It's that we haven't played a lot of audio recently on the show. Mm-hmm. A lot of people know about Dilla, Sherman Dilla Thomas, who is like a Chicago historian on social media. April 5th was National Deep Dish Pizza Day. So Dilla on his social medias dropped this little video about the history of deep dish, and I thought it was pretty interesting.
Chicago urban historian Dilla here. In Chicago, we celebrate April 5th as Deep Dish Pizza Day. Let me tell you its history. So when it comes to the history of deep dish pizza, we're pretty sure where it got invented, but we're not so sure as to who invented deep dish pizza. We're solidly sure that deep dish pizza was invented in 1943 at Pizzeria Uno, located on the corner of Wabash in Ohio. Now, the owner of Pizzeria Uno, Ike, he claims that he invented deep dish pizza. But the problem with that is a gentleman by the name of Rudy Malnati, who's the patriarch of the Malnati family. Well, he was the head chef at Pizzeria Uno's, and he said that he invented deep dish pizza. It doesn't stop there. A lady by the name of Alice Mae Redmond, who would go on to help run Geno East, well, she said that she played a part in inventing the deep dish pizza. And to complicate things even further, one of the waitresses there was Helen DeLessie, who also is noted for her deep dish Chicago pizza fame.
Yeah, so it's a big family tree around deep dish. I have to say, by the way, Pizzeria Uno, it's really good. And I, like, whenever people ask about like, oh, where should I, I'm coming to town, where should I get deep dish? It's always, of course, Pequod's. That's the go-to, and it's great, of course. It's not the original. A lot of people go to Giordano's. A lot of people go to Geno's East. Pizzeria Uno and Due is like the sequel. It's like one and two. I love their deep dish. It's really good. And it's interesting to think that maybe that's where it started, because I really like the way it's that they make it. And then you hear the names like Malnati and like all the little spinoff branches of it started at Uno, and then they all kind of made their own thing. I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. And that just... those people playing such a role in the staples that we have
right
now is really awesome. Like, that's why I just, maybe it's just getting older, but history gets more and more interesting.
Yeah.
So like people like Dilla being able to put out what he does in terms of, yeah, the macro stuff, but also just like niche things like, oh, it's deep dish day. I know I've got this in my back pocket that can provide some context. Like, I love that.
Yeah, he just has a knack about him. And I just love that he is like completely, he just did this himself. He's like, isn't he a ComEd employee? I think that's what his job is. He's a ComEd guy.
Yeah, like it's, there's, the different styles of like Jeffrey Bayer and Dilla.
Yeah, right. Because
like I know one of the things, and I remember when I was still working Lawrence's show when he was solo, was having Jeffrey Bayer on to basically like the special he did about like basically riding the L.
Yeah, I love that
and,
one.
Like each stop hitting on history and everything around whatever stop that is. I could watch that again and again.
Yeah.
So like to have also just like this version as well of like what Dilla does of more like
compressed, rant,
like that big picture stuff, but also like the random stuff that we would all care about is really cool.
Yeah. And he did go on that video to say like, while most Chicagoans lean towards tavern style, like this is definitely a part of our history and it's what we're known for. And it's cool. And just if you missed last week's episode, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, I talked about going to the Chicago History Museum right there by the ridiculously expensive BP and Moody Bible. And it was great. I had a great time there, learned a ton about like the Great Chicago Fire and, like how the ethnicity settled in Chicago and like the Eastland disaster and like all the things that like really shaped the way Chicago is. So I can't recommend that enough, but make sure you're following, Dilla on social media. I swear every time he puts a video out, I learn something new, and he just learned history on his own. He just had a passion for it. And then made this little social media empire for himself. And now he's become kind of an authority on all things Chicago history. It's so cool. Love that dude. And he's doing great stuff. And I love that. Again, my friend sent me that. I'm like, yeah, we're using this on the podcast for sure. It's just fascinating. It's like going to an old cemetery in Chicago, like Graceland, and all the gravestones are like Chicago street names.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of like the same, like, okay, you see like the origins of everything. It's cool. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay. So place I went this week.
Yes.
With, it's always nice. Like when you get to meet up with someone that you just don't see very often that you might text with a fair amount. I got to do that with my friend Curtis, who I worked. Did you work with Curtis at, IMS?
What's the last name?
Sahi.
That doesn't ring a bell, but maybe. I was there for such a short time.
Like, you guys might have just missed each other.
Yeah.
But so Curtis and I worked together for a long time because right after graduating, I started working at the time it was ICB, and worked there for basically up until COVID. So for like a decade,
okay.
I was working there in some capacity. And Curtis was someone I worked with a ton and was like really, really good friend from there. So we keep in touch and we finally decided to meet up. And we went to Tapville Social in Naperville. It's 216 South Washington Street. So,
please say it right.
Washington Street.
Thank you.
Yes. It is in view of the Mongolian barbecue that is shut down. So that part was a little sad.
Is that hard on you?
Yeah, it was a little difficult. But
I just see Rick like with a black armband on. Yeah. You know, a single tier. It's actually a
blood pressure monitor sleeve.
It's dual purpose. Yeah, I'm in mourning, exactly. But I'm watching myself too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if you're watching on the YouTubes, you see the burger that I have there and the red ale, which the format of this place is interesting because it's one of those where when you come in, they give you a card and you go and you pour your own beer.
Oh,
so fun. So that on their wall of like all their tap spouts, like it's monitors that say, here's the beer, here's where it's from, one sentence description, and the rating on Untappd.
Wow.
Which I think is a great idea.
So are these all their beers, or is it just, do they have just a selection of all kinds of beers?
They have a selection of all kinds of beers. Cool. It's all different breweries, a ton of that. Like they have, like from this picture, if you went around that corner, that's where they have more of your macro brews.
Okay.
But they have probably 30 to 40 micro brews that are always on tap. And then what you do is in the slot where you see like, okay, this beer is this number, find that number spout, and then you just insert your card right there. And then it charges your card by the ounce. So if you want to just do a quick sip to taste it, you can do an ounce or two.
Oh, cool.
And then move to the next one if you don't like it, or fill up. So like just the format is really cool. And they're sorted by like, okay, sour and fruity, you know, like hoppy and bitter, like those are all together. So, and also great midday shows. But so I had Hoppy and Bitter was a there.
Morning show. Never mind.
Yeah, true. That's true. okay, as I clear my throat and definitely don't mute myself.
Sorry.
The red ale that I had that was in the first picture is the Not Red Ale from Phase 3 Brewing in Lake Zurich.
Okay.
And it was, like, usually I'm here for anything that's, especially a red ale that's caramely, but this one's not. Like, the description on it just says, brewed with toasty malts and a splash of roasted barley for that rich red color and depth of flavor. Malty, but not caramely or overly sweet. Balanced and meant for drinking.
Okay.
So, like,
that's just a good feature of a beer.
Yeah. Like, you can see the color on that thing is really nice for a red.
Yeah.
So between that and then the other one I had, because it's also like, it's fun to get to shout out other breweries, you know, because we work with Nick and Ivy, but obviously there's so much everywhere that like you can, and this one's actually not even from around here. I kind of wanted a sour and I saw a strawberry.
Hmm.
So I'm like, okay, let's try this. It's the Pedal to the Kettle.
Okay.
From Upland Brewing in Bloomington. It says this refreshing kettle sour welcomes in spring with a distinctly tart grapefruit, peach, and strawberry flavor. So you definitely get those notes in there. So for me, like wanting just like a sour that like really hit.
I'm not a big grapefruit guy, but I'm assuming that that cut the sweetness a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's more the purpose that it served more than actual like getting a lot of grapefruit flavor.
Yeah.
It's definitely strawberry forward. In terms of what it tastes like, but to have that and just like they have a big old rack of clean glasses so that you can just go, okay, here and do this. And if you want to order more food, since the only downside is by the nature of this format, there are fewer employees around.
Oh yeah.
So that part kind of sucks, even if it is kind of like an inventive, cool way to be able to get your own beer.
Right.
So the service was a little slow in that regard, but when you're there drinking, you don't really care as much. And that's probably what they're banking on. But that burger that I had, it was their signature burger, the Tapville signature burger. Monterey Jack, cheddar cheese, and pepper jack with their Applewood smoked bacon and crispy onion straws. And then it usually comes with a chipotle mayo. I asked them to nix that and just if they had barbecue, put it on the side. And it was like a real like smoky barbecue sauce. So that was very good. And like they did their fries properly.
Yeah, they look good.
Yeah. So it's just really quality food. Interesting way if you want to try a few different beers. And then even with the service being slow, they do kind of build in a fail safe of like, let's say you got to go. And like there's just nobody there. By the exit, what you can do, because they take your debit card and link it to your card that you use there. If you have to go and no one's there to like run your card, they have boxes by the exit that are, it's like 0, 15, 20, and 25 for percent of tip. So then you can just drop your card into whichever box you would like to use for tipping purposes.
Oh, smart.
So that way, you know, the person that does end up helping you out and running your food and doing all that still gets something, but that you don't necessarily have to have your card run before you leave.
Oh, that's cool. That's a great idea. All right, so Tapville, give me the address again if you got it handy.
216 South Washington Street in Naperville.
Nice. Well, I didn't try much of anything this week because I had a procedure. As the odyssey of my freaking mouth continues. It was not great. I had my implant put in, and it didn't feel great, Rick, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
That's what I'm dealing with. So that was not super fun. I had a literal screw put in my mouth this week.
Going to say that Rotini really stuck in there.
Yeah, you know, you get a bunch of Novocaine, so you don't feel anything.
Sure.
But to see the dentist like with basically a socket wrench, like tightening a screw in your jaw was, it doesn't hurt, but you feel it tightening. It's a little bit off-putting.
If nothing else.
Yeah, it was a little off-putting. So anyway, because I was eating soft foods, I finally got to have the Wendy's Dreamsicle Frosty.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, very good. Nice. Very good. I could use a little more orange, I will say. It was a little bit like light on the orange, but I think maybe every mix is different, potentially. Probably. Or like, you know, maybe one pump is different from the next. Because I did have two this week, and I think like the second one was a little bit better for whatever reason. But
so
if
you're
a
two-pump chump?
I was a two-pump chump, yes. So if you're a fan of Dreamsicle anything, which I think most people are,
yeah,
the Wendy's Dreamsicle Frosty is certainly worth getting. I don't know how long it's going to be around. I know they rotate kind of seasonally as they go, but I would imagine this has been one of the more popular of their Dreamsicle varietals. Mm-hmm. So head there before it's gone. I know, I mean, I had it April 3rd, I think was the day I had it. So it's not gone for April. I'm assuming it's going to be here the rest of the month. So jump on it, get it. And maybe the more people that buy it, they'll keep it around. Because I would love to have that as like a permanent Frosty. But I know they go strawberry and they go peppermint like in the winter and they mix things up. But this was phenomenal. So
nice.
Yeah, go try that. Go try that Frosty. And by the way, while you're trying stuff, why not go to Fredo's Culinary Kitchen, 628 South Roselle Road in Schaumburg, Fredo'sPizza.com, Fredo'sBakery.com. Some changes coming to Fredo's soon. Hmm. We'll have some info on that for you in an episode or two. I talked to Michael, who runs the place, and are kind of reimagining the way things are going to work there. Not in a bad way at all, in a good way, but a little bit different from what we're used to. So anyway, go to Fredo'sPizza.com, place your order online, use the code IMFAT, you'll save 10%. Well, what should we get? Well, you've got the I'm Fat Burger, the I'm Fat Pizza, the I'm Fat Grilled Cheese. That's a good place to start. They've got the giant mozzarella sticks, which are great. But really, whatever you have a taste for, go for it. And Michael said that the Korean barbecue pizza is the best thing they've ever had there. Wow. Like he said, hands down, it was just an unbelievable like success. And people are raving about it. So go check that out at Fredo's as well.
We've been dethroned?
Well, ours was the best selling.
Oh.
They didn't necessarily say the best tasting. Mm-hmm. I think it was the best tasting. But
I agree.
Yeah, but they say this Korean barbecue stuff they've got there is out of this world. So go check it out. And if you need catering, Fredo's is amazing at catering. Mm-hmm. They do a wonderful job. Great service. They help you load your car up. Everything's ready. Everything's fresh. Everything's ready to go. So go check out our friends at Fredo's. And, of course, Fredo'sBakery.com for all your Mother's Day needs. Get your brownies, get your cookies, get all that great stuff at Fredo'sBakery.com. All wonderful stuff. You will love it. Fredo's in Schaumburg, 628 South Roselle Road.
Okay. I have two things real quick. One is just, so this month, this is kind of like a PSA for me in general.
Okay.
I'm going to be traveling a fair amount of this month.
Yes.
So I'm going to be in this week. I'm going to be in Springfield for a couple days. The week after, I'm going to be in Vegas for a few days.
Oh, no.
The week after, I'm going to be in Cleveland for a few days. And then the week after that, I'm going to have like a day and a half in LA.
LA.
So if you have food recommendations, especially for Springfield, Vegas, or Cleveland, by all means, send them my way. Because I'm going to have like multiple days there where LA, it's kind of like, fly in Thursday night, Friday you have things, leave Saturday morning. So there's really no time to do anything. But for especially Springfield, ASAP, because when you're listening to this, I'm probably going to be fighting traffic for the stupid eclipse.
Oh, God.
Down to Springfield.
I mean, you should just leave now.
I know, dude, I know. Thankfully, we don't have to do anything on Monday. It's just checking in.
Yeah.
But like, that traffic is going to suck. Oh,
I saw a map of, I don't have it handy, but my friend sent a map of like Airbnb availability throughout the country. And like from, you know, basically going like cutting the eastern coast off, it's like red all the way through the path of the eclipse.
Yep.
I have friends who are going, I think they're leaving today to go. They're going to Indianapolis. Like they booked it like a year ago. I'm interested.
I will never care that much.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm into that stuff. I'm surprised by how interested in this people are. I guess it's just the rarity factor of it.
Is it though? Because there's some form of eclipse like every other
year. Yeah, but I think this is a total eclipse. And I think that doesn't happen that often.
Total eclipse.
But didn't one happen like 2 years ago?
So there's, that's what I'm saying, is there's some form of eclipse like every other year. And like, there's not even a heart involved in this total eclipse. So I was trying
to steer you away from the Bonnie Tyler joke, and you just had to jerk the wheel right into the guardrail.
Well, I am a jerk. So.
Yeah. Well, we know that. No, I mean, nothing against it. I just,
yeah.
Boy, like people have been planning this for like, my friend was over last night telling me about it. I'm like,
right.
Wow. You booked it like a year in advance. Like that's really like heads up. Good for you. But I know they went like during the COVID one. And they just loved it. Like, it was just such a cool experience. They went to Tennessee for it. And they just thought it was, like, such an incredible experience. Mm-hmm. I just look forward to our former president just looking directly at it again.
That's so great. Like, okay. So, my last thing that I
all right. I got some stuff, too. We still got to get to our baseball angles.
Oh, that's true.
Want to do that first?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, my last thing's kind of a minimal thing.
Well, it's been a rough week. Not only did I have a screw put in my head, our pal.
Hi, my name's Alfred D'Elia. At home, they call me Big Al, and I hit dingers.
Big Al is a normie.
Yeah, he is.
And I'm not even going to share a photo because it would be too traumatic for our audience to see. Mm-hmm. If you choose to, you can Google Big Al D'Elia 2024 and see that he is now a normie. Some would even say skinny.
Mm-hmm. He is an actual athlete, which is a shame that it's clear that puberty hit.
Yeah.
And he didn't up his intake along with the growing aspect of it.
Yeah, I think he just got stretched out. And it's disappointing. I mean, Big Al could have been an icon for our people. And he just basically turned his back on us, which brings us to our next little baseball angle. And I think our old pal Ozzie Guillen has some thoughts for Big Al.
Like I always say, John Kruk say, fat, never pull.
You can't pull fat.
Nope. All those eat right, be careful what you eat, no cheeseburger. Here's the, nah, man. I remember those guys go here drinking 12 Budweiser, give me 3 hamburgers and go get it, boys.
Didn't go on the injured list.
And they play all year long.
That's right. That's right, Ozzie. You can't pull fat.
It's why we are the way we are, so that we don't ever have to go on the injured list.
Well, I almost did this week because I did clean this basement a little bit. You can't really see it. But I was lifting things and my back was horrible. I was supposed to go. So my cousin Matt, who many know as Southside Zoe on Twitter, not my brother, my cousin, had his 40th birthday party at the Golf Haven in Palos Heights. It's like an indoor, there's like 4 bay golf simulator surprise party for him. And I was like all excited, had my clubs out. Like that was why I started cleaning the basement. I had to dig out my clubs, brought them upstairs, was all ready to go, and then continued to clean the basement. And then I'm like, I cannot swing a golf club tonight. There's no chance in hell. So I just drank beer and ate food, and it was fine. But, yeah, it's disappointing. So you can pull fat, just not as often. You don't get those soft tissue injuries as a fat guy. You just get fat guy injuries.
Right, and we don't jump as high. So, you know, a lot of those feet injuries that a lot of, like, especially basketball players get. By the way, if there's one thing to never do is look at pictures of NBA players
feet. Oh yeah,
oh they're all, and I mean it makes sense, like considering the type of wear and tear that gets put on them, but like Shaq's feet are LeBron's feet are
who's the basketball player you can't Google?
Oh, Evan Fournier.
Yes.
Yeah, that's just because of his name.
Don't do it.
Yeah, do not. Yeah, his nickname's literally never Google.
Yeah, we're not telling you this to like be hee-hee-hee, do it.
Right.
No, don't.
And Tom Thibodeau also called him never play. But
yeah, I don't get it, but I'm sure that's funny. So anyway, Big Al, frustrating. I think you knew he was headed that way, though, right? Like, but he was serious about playing. A chunker, man. He was a big... I mean, he was headed towards, like, heart attack at 12 at his rate. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad. I mean, jokes aside, like, I'm glad he's still playing baseball and doing it in a little more healthy way. But Ozzie's on to something, especially with baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at Burley. Look at Lackey. Like, these guys, like, even Anthony Rizzo was in good shape, but he wasn't, like, jacked or ripped.
Well, now he gets hurt all the time because
he's old. Yeah, but, and how about Chris Bryant?
Yeah.
It's so sad. It's so awful for him.
I mean, hey, one thing that's great about baseball, guaranteed contract.
Yeah, I'm sure once he's happy about
once that. Once that pen is to paper, that's all you.
There's always a former, maybe still a baseball writer in town, and I'll tell you off the air who it is, who always blamed his wife for everything. That bitch wife is. I'm like, dude, settle down.
The funny thing is I've heard that from multiple people.
Well, I just put it in the private chat here on StreamYard and see if we're on the same page.
Yeah. That makes sense. I've heard it from more than just him, too.
Well, I think Chris is probably a little bit of a pushover. He's just such a nice, like, aw shucks kind of a kid that he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to, like, really fight for himself, or he seems like a guy that's kind of easy to get your way out of. So maybe there's a person or people in his life that identified that about him, and I also identified that he's also going to be very, very rich. So I'm going to hitch my wagon to this thing and be happy and rich for the rest of my life. But he's a good guy. He deserves better than he's getting. I guess he's getting, like, death threats in Colorado.
Ugh.
Like, it's not just his fault you suck.
Also, your team blows anyway.
It's not Chris Bryant's
fault. What does it matter? How dare you? We're going to have 63 wins instead of 66.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
Poor Chris. All right, is that all you got? Are we good?
One quick thing. A place we tried because it was literally one of the few places open on Easter for dinner.
Yeah.
Like, we had done Easter brunch. One Taco Dos Tequilas, 274 East Devon Avenue in Bartlett.
This is a white.
Yes. Very much a white place, I can only assume. I had just steak and chorizo tacos, because after, like, gorging myself with, with the brunch stuff, I didn't have a ton of room for dinner. So I was like, okay, they have steak, they have actual chorizo tacos, not soy chorizo, not I am chorizo tacos. But actual chorizo tacos, and they were very good. The rice was really good. So, like, place that real solid option. I wouldn't say anything I had was, like, spectacular, but if you're looking for a Mexican food option around Bartlett, that's a real solid place to be able to go.
Nice. That's awesome. Are we still connected?
Yeah.
Okay, you looked like you were frozen there for a second.
No, I was actually somehow able to stay very still.
Ah, good job. That was interesting. All right, is it time to ask the fats? Shut up. It is. Don't do that. You know how paranoid I get, you dick. Wait, we can't ask the fats yet. We have to tell people about Mazda of Orland Park.
You're going to drive over to me and beat my ass for doing that?
Yes. Mazda of Orland Park right there on 159th Street, mazdaoforlandpark.com. Headed there this week. I am overdue for an oil change. I'm going to get my pee-pee slapped for being late on my oil change. But I talk about this all the time. Everyone knows by now I'm like Murph with Brown's chicken. Everyone knows I drive a Mazda. I've got the CX-5, the CX-30. I love them both. But I say this all the time about Mazda of Orland Park. Is the service is great. And I think a lot of people, like, once you buy a car and you've, like, exhausted, like, hey, you get a year of free oil changes, then you start going somewhere else because it's just cheaper.
Yeah.
I still go to Mazda of Orland Park. And could I find a cheaper oil change? Probably. But for the extra 10, 15 bucks, I'm going to get, like, the full vehicle inspection. They're going to tell me everything that needs to be done. They're going to show me with a video camera, like, here's your brakes. Here's your cabin filter. Here's your engine filter. Here's your oil levels. Like, here's everything. We're showing you what we've done. We're showing you what needs to be done. Here's the recommendation. Do you want to do it? Or, like, literally, you get a text like, do you want to do this service? Yes or no? No. This? Yes or no? Boom. And then you just do it all right there. And they complete what you want them to complete. They don't give you any pressure about getting anything done. But if there's something that's necessary, they'll let you know. I love it. The service is great. That's why I still go there for both of my cars. I don't go to Jiffy Lube or anywhere else. I let them service the car because I know they know those cars better than anybody. And that's the difference with Mazda of Orland Park, is the service is outstanding. So go visit them on 159th Street right there in Orland Park, 708-444-3200. Ask for Eric Vates. He will get you squared away with a test drive at Mazda of Orland Park. All right, Rick, now is it time to ask the fats.
Absolutely.
Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been 1 week since my last confession.
Okay, my son. What is your confession?
I'm fat.
Ask a Fat's brought to you by our pal, Charlie the Bacon Guy. Go to charliethebaconguy.com and get yourself some damn bacon.
Thanks, Jay. This week we have rosemary, maple espresso, cheddar, jardinera, Korean barbecue, chorizo, ranch, vanilla bourbon, and Cajun. For the bacon jams, it's the original, the bourbon, and the cherry jalapeno. I never got to make that new batch of anything, so
your
suggestions are welcome. Get them in quickly. Other flavors coming by the end of the week is maple pepper and lemon pepper, and that Canadian bacon will be up on the website really, really soon. If you want one and I'll set one aside for you, just shoot me a DM or an email or a text or a phone call. Any of those are fine. Hope everybody has a great week. Go tacos.
Shut up.
For the Bacon Report. I'm Charlie the Bacon Guy.
That's Charlie the Bacon Guy. Maple espresso?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know if I've ever tried anything like that, but I'm willing.
Yeah, I'm not a coffee or espresso guy, but for those that love it, like espresso, they love espresso.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I think he's coming to the Hawks game today, going to bring some pocket bacon. Nice. I'm excited about some Charlie Sweat flavored bacon. Extra salty. It's going to be good. Get yourself any of those great products he mentioned at charliethebaconguy.com. If you do want to write him, DM him, whatever you want to do, Instagram, Charlie the Bacon Guy, Twitter at CZ the Bacon Guy, charliethebaconguy@gmail.com. Those are the ways to get in touch. But if you want to order something from the site, that's the easiest way, charliethebaconguy.com. You can go in there and look at the Bacon Vault. All the things he's made before are all in there, and they are amazing. So if you see something that's not available now, but you're like, I kind of want that, hit him up. And if you order enough, he'll make you a batch. No questions asked. So get in touch with Charlie, whichever way you please. CharlieTheBaconGuy.com, probably the easiest way to do that. All right, we have one voicemail from our buddy TCR Brad, and then we'll get to your emails. If you want to leave us a voicemail, 708-858-3314.
Gentlemen, a very happy March Fatness to both of you. TCR Brad here. Admittedly, heartbroken that my ghost pick or my dark horse to make just a deep run, maybe even make a national championship appearance, Sweatpants and Zubas losing 51-49 in the second round. It's just completely heartbreaking. I don't know if I'm ever really going to get over that by the end of before next tournament shows up, but that's beside the point. Shout out to Nick and Ivy for just an awesome section of the bracket. I have been working a lot of high school games this week, and wanted to check in with you guys because the staple of a high school sporting event is the concession stand. Mm. And while there are a few staples like boxes of Sour Patch Kids or Red Vines or bags of chips, Snicker bars, things of that nature, there's always a cooked item at high school concession stands that fall into areas of consistently good, varies by location, risky play. And that, of course, being the hot dog, the hamburger, the chicken finger or chicken tender, and depending on the location, usually there's a slice of pizza involved. So my question to you guys is, when attending a sporting event, high school, minor league, major league, whatever, is there a stadium go-to that you guys usually order from the concession stand that you are confident every single time it will be a good experience? For me, it's a hot dog. I really haven't had a bad experience with a ballpark hot dog or an arena hot dog. Chicken finger for me, as much as I love it, where they source the chicken from, it's a complete roll of the dice. And same thing with the pizza. It depends on if it's been sitting in the fridge and then reheated in a microwave for like 3 or 4 days. It can be a little variable sometimes. So usually for me, hot dog is the way to go. But curious to hear what your guys' take is on that. Cheers as always, and continue with the great work.
All right, so I'm of two minds. If I'm at a child's sporting event, mm-hmm. like a volleyball game, baseball game, I'm going pizza because mm-hmm. it's safe to assume that that place ordered from a pizza place that day.
Yes.
So, like, for example, once again, Homewood Baseball and Softball, every game day they order like 24 Aurelio's pizzas from the Homewood Aurelio's, and they cut them in triangles instead of squares, and there you go. You're set with your Aurelio's for the day. If I'm at a major sporting event, I'm like a big nacho guy because you can't really screw that up.
Yeah.
Sometimes the cheese isn't enough for the stuff, but I think, I don't know, I just think pizza in general is pretty safe.
Pizza is safe. If we're talking like a professional, like basically minor, like you mentioned minor leagues, if we're talking like minor league baseball game, I'll feel safe going with a hot dog.
Yeah.
Especially if I see that there's Vienna beef there, then they care enough to have Vienna beef, which means they're going to care enough to have it be decent. Because yeah. if you're going to pay for Vienna beef and then not make it properly, you're dumb. So, like, I will do that. I tend to go to the hot dog as well. Or, kind of a sucker for a pretzel at a game.
Me too.
Just,
yeah,
you know, a little, some cheese to dunk it into, break apart, all that stuff. Yep.
Yeah, pretzel's good too, because even, like, the worst ballpark pretzel is still pretty decent.
Yeah.
You also can get decently full from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like if I'm at a ball game, I can have infinite hot dogs.
Yeah.
Like, there's no end to my hot dog capacity at a baseball game. Just keep giving it to me and I will keep eating it and that's it. But you need some stuff to fill you. That's why, like, I'm a big, like, peanut at the ball game guy.
Okay.
Because it occupies you.
Yes.
Like, you're constantly, like, breaking the shell, eating the peanuts, and it keeps you full. I mean, you keep buying beer and you keep buying pop because you're super thirsty. But... yeah, but a good call on the pretzel. The pretzel is a very safe investment wherever you're going. Good question, Brad. Like that. All right, now we have one email to get to, and we're going to do that as soon as I stall and find the proper thing to hit. Where the... okay, there we go.
Ask a fat about this and that. It's time to chat with the fats.
Shoot us an email. I'm fatpod@gmail.com. And that's what Adam in Louisiana did, Rick.
Yes, he did. As I was on a different tab for a second because I'm smart. You know what I was doing? I was looking up the standings for the bracket predictions.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's going to be fascinating. It's fairly tight towards the top. Anywho, Adam said, hello, fats. I'm listening to the Easter episode of the podcast and agree with the idea that Easter is an underrated food holiday. That made me think about the question I want to ask you two. What holiday do you lose the most control with regarding food? This Easter made me realize I cannot control myself with Easter candy. I ate over 2,000 calories worth of Reese's eggs, sorry, Rick, on Sunday alone and have another unopened bag sitting on my counter. No other holiday has food that turns me into Augustus Gloop quite like Easter. Side note, can we get a warning before the March Fatness recorder is played because I damn near threw my AirPod across the room while working at my desk. Love the podcast and keep up the excellent content.
There you go. I actually turned that one way up too. We do warn you. We say it's about time for March Fatness and we hit. Yeah. Anyway, he's right, dude. Like that, I had the realization last week that it's Easter because you start... and your whole day is filled with candy. You wake up, maybe you've got a kid, maybe you got your own Easter basket. So yeah. you pick away at that. You probably have some kind of like a cream egg or a Reese's egg and some jelly beans.
A caramel egg.
Yeah, of course, or an Oreo egg. Then you have breakfast, which is usually like a big-ass brunch. Then you go to a party or get-together, and all those things are there, and candy is there too. Then you come home, and you get the Easter basket left. Then you're probably, because you had... a meal at like a weird time, like 2:30 or 3, around 7 or 8, you're hungry again. So then you probably have another either leftovers or you just make yourself like a frozen pizza or something.
Yeah.
And then you're eating more candy at night. Easter is the worst food, like in terms of caloric intake, I don't think Easter has much competition when you really think about it.
Yeah, because with Thanksgiving, the turkey is still turkey.
Right.
So it's healthier than most.
Yeah, and there's
the sides though.
But but it's still like within the context of a meal. And I think a lot of people on Thanksgiving too are like, I'm going to eat light today because I'm going to stuff myself for the main meal.
Got it.
Then maybe you go home and have a turkey sandwich or whatever, like a couple leftover pieces. But it's not bookended by a shitload of candy.
Yeah, and you don't think of it as that type of holiday. So yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I really think Easter is that's the one where I am the worst. Because it's just you're constantly surrounded by sweets.
Did you take advantage of Cheap Candy Day?
Well, I did. So the day of my dental procedure, I had to get my script filled at Walgreens for my Norco and all the drugs that they gave me. So I went into Walgreens and had, you know, 50% off candy or Jewels actually. So I got two bags of Reese's eggs.
Okay.
I had two of them. My family ate the rest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Get and a then, better family.
I'm working on it. And then Hope got Reese's. I know you don't like Reese's, but Reese's Pieces eggs. So they almost look like the Cadbury, like or whatever, like the Robin eggs.
Yeah.
But the Reese's Pieces, they were awesome. Okay. I had maybe a handful or two of those. Those were gone. Mm-hmm. It was a bad week to get dental work done, I got to say.
Yeah. I got a couple. I was shocked at how many Cadbury caramel eggs were still there and on clearance. So I got a couple sleeves of them.
Nice. Yeah, I got to see if they got any more cream eggs. I know those are not the biggest movers.
Yeah.
I'll run into Jewels this week and take a look. I like to get in those little tiny ones, the little mini cream eggs, throw them in the freezer. It's good. Those are really good.
So I had to go to Walgreens a couple times this week to pick up prescriptions and stuff. But the thing is, the clearance section got me. And also my office drawer snacks are plentiful. The problem is, not going to be there until like Thursday. So like there's pizza combos, there's Cadbury caramel eggs, and there's Bunch of Crunch.
That's pretty good. You'll have to bring a portable office drawer.
That's true.
Don't worry, you're gonna have plenty of good food around you.
Yes,
except for Springfield. Actually, except I don't know, but I'm assuming so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for you, man. Travel's fun. You'll have some new stuff to report on.
Absolutely. So that look forward to that in the next couple weeks as I'm losing my mind, going from zero travel to April is travel.
All of it.
All of it. So follow us on all of our social media at I'm Fat Pod. I'm Fat Pod at gmail.com. Check for updates there. Patreon, Spotify, if you like, and I'mFatMerch.com to get our merch. So please make sure that you're doing that. YouTube.com/I'mFatPodcast. Subscribe, like each video, and watch them, or just let them run in the background so we can get those hours viewed, hours listening, whatever they want to call
accrued.
It. Yes, accrued. That's the way to do it. And also make sure, 8 a.m. on Monday, voting for the Flabby Four will begin. That'll run through the end of Tuesday. And then Thursday and Friday, we'll be voting on the final of what will join the Onion Ring of Honor.
Go Steak.
And we'll have to... Shade. I'm throwing Shade at your steak because I'm rooting for Shade.
Fair enough.
So make sure to keep an eye on all of our social media for that. And then you can subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, unsubscribe, and resubscribe to the regular podcast feed to help us juke those numbers as well. Leave us the old 5-star rating and review. It's been over a month since we got a review. That would be appreciated. So, and as Bomani Jones says, if you do not leave 5 stars, I am inclined to think you are a hater.
Ooh.
So.
Damn.
And the best thing you can do is check out our sponsors, Charlie the Baking Guy, Mazda of Orland Park, Fredo's Culinary Kitchen, and Nick and Ivy Brewing. So for Jay, I'm Rick, and this is the I'm Fat Podcast.
55 burgers, 55 fries, 55 tacos, 55 pies, 55 cokes, 100 tater tots, 100 pizzas, 100 tenders, 100 meatballs, 100 coffees, 55 wings, 55 shakes, 55 pancakes, 55 pasta, 55 peppers, and 155 taters.
Bye.